Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Thank you. To God be the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Amen. Bless you, brother. Let the church say amen.
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 Hallelujah. Did you feel some chains falling?
Amen.
The clinkety clank of something breaking. Choir, we thank you for letting the Lord use you to encourage our hearts. Amen. Didn't they sing? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It ain't hard to preach after singing like that. Not hard at all. There's a wonderful song that we like to sing during the Christmas season. It's a song entitled, Mary, Did You Know? The song, I believe, it speaks to the hopes and the aspirations of every father and mother in the sense of desiring for their children to be somebody, to leave a mark or an impact on the world in a beautiful way. That is the hope of every father, of every mother, of every grandfather and grandmother, that their children and their children's children might have an impact, that their lives might have influenced them to do so. It's a beautiful song. The lyrical enigma of the song about Mary said something like this. It says, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that through your baby boy, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap, and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb? Mary, did you know? It asked the question, the enigma. My wife and I, we've raised three children, 28, 26, and 24. And it was a joy to do so. And it was our hope from the beginning that they might have an impact, that they might leave a legacy, that they might leave their mark, that they might fulfill their destiny. Every one of them were dedicated to the Lord right here in this sanctuary. Somewhere in this vicinity. We raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, but when you raise a child, you don't know how they're going to turn out. The best that we can do is to love them, to teach them, and then to send them and commend them to the grace of God, that they might fulfill their destiny. There is a lady by the name of Mary in the Bible. She is set to have a son. An angel was revealed to her that she's going to have a son who's going to leave an impact on the world. This child that she would have would be the Son of God. But I want to ask the question, or answer the question, if you will, what did Mary know? We asked the question, Mary, did you know? But what did she know? Luke chapter 1. And we want to begin in verse number 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Looking at our text this morning, I want to lift out of it three things that Mary knew. Three things that Mary knew. Number one, Mary knew the grace and favor of God. Mary knew the grace and the favor of God. Grace is God's favor. That word grace is in the Greek can also be described as Hesed, H-E-S-E-D. Hesed as a kindness that is being extended to you that you really do not deserve. We break that down and we call it unmerited favor, something that was not earned. Grace is God doing something for you that you yourself could not earn or could not do yourself, and you needed his kindness, his Hesed, to do it. God's grace, or grace is God's favor. Grace is a gift that will often surprise us because we do not expect it or deserve it. I was extended Hesed, my wife and I, this morning. Am I right about it? You extended to us a gift that we did not deserve, we did not earn. It was an Hesed that you gave to Pastor Tony and to Sister Samantha. And it's a surprise because you didn't know you were going to get it. Now, Mary knew the grace and the favor of God, because it says so in the text. Notice what we find here. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, he's a messenger from God, amen, was sent by God to the city of Galilee, and this city was named Nazareth. And note that this grace is extended to a city that we are surprised by. See, what you don't know is that the Jews from Judah, from the region near Jerusalem, they despise people from Nazareth. Nazareth was a place that was not well known. It would be considered a hood. As a matter of fact, a hood that ain't no good. And Nazareth was the place that Jesus grew up. It has the connotation to the name of one who watches or stands guard for. The people should have been watching or standing guard from the watchtower, looking for the Messiah to come, looking for the prophecies of the prophets to come to pass, that a Savior would come. And so we find that there's a surprise. Grace is a gift that would often surprise us, and we find here we are surprised by a city called Nazareth. Matter of fact, in John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46, Philip found Nathanael, and when he found Nathanael, he told Nathanael, he says, "We have found the one whom Moses and the prophets wrote about." And you know what Nathanael's answer was? You know what his response was? Could there be anything good that can come out of what? Nazareth. We find that God will show up in a city. He will show up in unlikely places. God wants to do something in Portsmouth, Virginia. He wants to show up and show out. He wants to surprise the city by your coming and giving invitation to those who don't know him. See, he comes to the city, and Nathanael says, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Maybe that city is your family. "Can anything good come out of the Harris family?" Born as a little boy to a mom who had schizophrenia. Father who'd been on drugs and crack cocaine and died that way. Can anything come out of a little boy who was placed in an orphanage, bounced around the city from a hood that was no good, from a family that was less than that? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Maybe there are some people who look at you and where you come from. Maybe in your past, you may not have had the best family situation, and they look at you and say, "I don't believe it. Nothing good can come from that. They're never going to mount up to nothing. They're never going to be anybody. They're going to be just like their no good daddy." Have you ever heard someone say that? I've heard that before said to me. "You're going to be just like your no good daddy." I said, "I don't even know my daddy. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and my daddy has been taking good care of me. My heavenly Father." God's grace is a gift that often surprises us, and because we do not deserve it, we do not expect it. And then we got to look and see that Mary was surprised. Notice what it says in our text in verse number 29. Let me go back a little bit from to 28. Then it says, "And having come in," talking about the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly what? Favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, or we can say that she was surprised at the saying and considered what manner of greeting. What do you mean? Can you explain that to me? She wasn't doubting. She just wanted more information. And sometimes God doesn't give us all of the information. He tells us just enough. And sometimes just having God's favor is just enough. Just having him with you is just enough. Notice what the text says. Thou art highly favored. In other words, you are blessed beyond blessings, beyond blessings. You are blessed and over blessed. You are highly favored. It's one thing to get grace. It's one thing to get favor, but you are greatly graced. That's the kind of grace that God extended to Mary. But listen, saints, he extended that grace to Mary, but guess what? He didn't do no less with you. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? He didn't do no less with you because he pursued you in whatever city you were, wherever you were, God pursued you to that city and he touched your heart. You may not have been looking for him. You may not have been paying attention from the watchtower. You may not have been looking from your Nazareth, but God saw you. He saw you and he says, I want you to know that like Mary, you are highly favored. Come on, somebody. Yes. You are highly. Mary was surprised because Mary was chosen by God to give birth to the Savior of the world. Come on, somebody. Giving birth to the Savior of the world. Now, we have given birth to children, but to a child who would be God, yes. Who would be man. Yes. Mary was surprised, so surprised that the angel had to say to her, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found hesed. Favor with God. All throughout the Bible, do you know that the Bible, we can also weave a thread from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and that thread would be called grace. Adam and Eve received grace when they should have been condemned and killed on the spot. But God took an animal and sacrificed it and clothed them. He gave them grace. In the Old Testament, grace was there. You go down a little bit, and Cain kills his brother Abel. God could have killed Cain on the spot. But what does God do? He extends to Cain hesed, and he told the people that you cannot do him any harm. He was extended grace, favor. You go down a little bit further and you find Enoch, one who walked with God, who walked straight on up into heaven because why? He found favor with God. You go down a little bit further and you find Noah. Noah, the Bible says Noah found favor with God. He found hesed, grace and kindness. God did something for him that he did not deserve. He should have been wiped out with all the rest of them. But God saved Noah and his family. He found hesed. You go down a little bit further and you find a young lady by the name of Ruth. Ruth, who had lost her husband, gets linked up with Naomi. Listen, saints, gets linked up with Naomi, goes back to Bethlehem. She's a Moabite. Now get this, Ruth is a Moabite. She's a descendant of a Moabite kingdom. The Moabites, do y'all know where the Moabites come from? Remember Lot? Lot had to be delivered from Sodom in the region of Gomorrah, and when they left there, the angel delivered them. And what happened when they got to their place where they were staying, his two daughters got him drunk and they had relationship with him and they had children. out of an incestuous relationship of the Moabite people are born. And the Moabites in the Bible are a thorn in the side of Israel. And they don't like Moabite. Israel does not like the Moabite people because of that. But look at God. God's grace continually overrules. And what he did, he said, okay, Ruth, you are a Moabite. The Jews despise Moabites, but I'm going to extend Hesed to you, Ruth, and you're going to go down because of your spirit, because you are one who is willing to follow me. You are one who is willing to obey me, and not knowing, I'm going to link you up with Naomi. Naomi's going to link you up with Boaz. Watch this. Ruth finds Boaz, who is in the line of the Messiah. Watch this. And so now you have the overruling power of God. Ruth, who is a Moabite, marries Boaz, who is a Jew. Now they have a son. They have a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a son named David. And David becomes the king of Israel. And God extends Hesed to David. He extends grace to David. And so when we read our text, it says that his throne shall be established forever. God says, I want you to know that I worked through 40 and 2 and some odd more generations just to give you unmerited favor. He comes on down to Mary and he says, listen, Mary, you're just a seed that's going to plant more grace, more hesed, more favor, because they don't deserve it. None of us do. Am I right about it? So now we go on. We go on. Mary was surprised because why? She was chosen to give birth to the Savior. The gift of God's grace or favor is an example, watch this, of God's predetermined goodness. Pick that up now. His predetermined goodness to Mary and to the world because of our predicament, because of our sinful nature. That was the predicament that we were in. We were in the predicament called sin, death, and hell. And what Jesus did, he says, I'm going to predetermine my goodness towards you, even though you don't deserve it. From the foundation of the world, I chose you. I chose you to be a child of God. And because of our sinful nature, we were in a situation whereby we could not help, or we could not fix, we could not save, we could not change, or we could not justify ourselves before a holy and a righteous God. Yes. 1 John 1 and 8. Through 10 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Aren't you glad that you can confess your sin? Aren't you glad that you can say, Lord, I messed up? Aren't you glad to say, I'm somebody who needs your grace? Aren't you glad that you're somebody who can say, Lord, I come boldly before the throne of grace so that I might attain help in my time of need? Aren't you glad that that verse is there for you? Can I get a witness? Yes, Mary knew the grace and the favor of God. Oftentimes at Christmas, we expect to receive a gift. And we sometimes know what gifts we're going to get before we get them. Am I right about it? We done already told everybody what we want to get. And you know, it's interesting to me how we do that. And sometimes we actually go out and purchase our own gift. Now, don't tell nobody you did that. Because why? We expect something under the tree. We expect a gift. Notice this is an oxymoron. I'm expecting. If you are expecting, that means that you think you deserve it. Am I right about it? If you are expecting, and so when somebody doesn't get you a gift for Christmas, you are mad. Because you was expecting your children to get you something for Christmas. Because guess what? You expected it. And so it's not by grace that they're given it. They're given it by rule of law. The law says, I bought you a gift, you buy me a gift. It's a gift exchange. My gift gonna cost $10, your gift gonna cost $200. Say that's not an equal gift exchange. But don't we do that? And so by nature of a gift, it cannot be earned. But God's grace and his kindness is a gift that we cannot buy. We don't know when it's coming, and we really shouldn't expect it if we earned it. We cannot earn a gift. We can only rejoice, receive it, and be grateful that we got it. Saints, let me say this. God predetermined to save you and to bless you. He predetermined from the foundation of the world to extend hesed to you. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? Why did he create man in his own image? I believe that he wanted to demonstrate his love, and in his love, there was also this extra component called grace that he wanted to extend to us and to help us experience. Because only God is good anyway. Only God is holy anyway. Yes. His unmerited favor and predetermined grace is amazing. In other words, it's inconceivable to think that God would save us. It's inconceivable. Mary could not conceive in her mind the message of the angel that God would choose her. Now, Mary is known to be what was said to be a handmaiden. It is the lowest social strata of position for a woman in society. She was, in essence, considered a slave girl. She was a handmaiden. She was a lowly servant. Not somebody that was not worth even going to talk to in most societies. But look at God. Won't he do it? He'll take a nobody and make him somebody. And then he'll say, go tell everybody that I can save everybody. That's the kind of God that we serve. It's inconceivable. That means you can't think it. His grace is indescribable. That means you can't explain it. His grace is invincible. That means you can't stop it. And it's inexhaustible. That means that you cannot wear it out. Because why? He gives you more grace. He gives you more grace. To those who humble themselves, he gives more grace. The lower you go, the worse you feel, grace comes under. It comes under. Well, I done messed up so many times. God says, I got grace for that. I done lost this. God got grace for that. People don't love me. I got grace for that. People hate me. I got grace for that. I've been doing everything right. I got grace for that. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? Some folk would think they're perfect. God says, I got grace for that. Because that's a lie. That's a flat out lie. If you think you perfect, tell yourself the truth. I ain't really that perfect. Because if people really knew the real me, if they really knew my thoughts, some of the thoughts I think, I'd be jacked up and put out. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Let's tell the T.I. truth about that. There is nobody perfect but Jesus, and we are saints who are being perfected, and I'm glad he's working on me. Amen. Max Lucado said, I've never been surprised by God's judgment, but I'm still stunned by his grace. Grace should stun you. Grace should stun you. It should shock and awe you. Whenever grace gets to be commonplace, we are in trouble. Because we think we earn it. We think that we this is how it should be. How come you don't recognize? We in trouble. But Mary was surprised. So what did Mary know? Mary knew the grace of God. Grace is God's favor. It's a gift that we are often surprised, that will often surprise us. But then grace is God's good news that God is with us. Verse number 31 says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And his name shall be called Jesus." The Hebrew name is Yeshua. And Jesus' names mean Jehovah saves. What did she know that the angel told her? That she would have a son who would be Jehovah God, who would save. What did Mary know? He says, "Mary, I want you to know that you're going to conceive in your womb to bring forth a son." That son speaks about his humanity. This would be God in the flesh. That's his humanity. Jesus taking on human form. God coming down and walking with us and talking with us, as the song says, and telling us that we are his own. Jesus coming in the likeness of sinful flesh. And condemn sin in the flesh, that we might be the righteousness of God and have power over the flesh and over sin and over death and over hell, and have eternity as our goal, as our hope. Yes. Grace is God's good news that there's a Savior in the world. The world needs to know that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world, and that there's no other way that a person can go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, "I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by me." Yes. He says, there's no other way to heaven. There's no other God. There's no other religion that can save us, because Jesus saves. I know it's a simple thing, but it's a gospel thing. He's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save souls and to tell the same story that Jesus saves, and his name implies the same. It goes on to say that he will be great. What's great about Jesus? The text tells us here, he's the Son of the Highest. What's so great about Jesus? That Son of the Highest emphasizes his deity. The son that Mary would give birth to represents his humanity. We call that the hypostatic union in theology. Y'all have a big word now. Y'all write that down. Hypostatic union. What does that mean? He's 100% God and 100% man. He's the God man. He didn't cease from being God when he came down to earth. Neither did he cease from being man when he ascended up into heaven. He's the God man. And he's brought us the good news. What's so great about Jesus? One day he's going to establish his throne in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on the throne of David. The Bible says he's going to reign over the house of Jacob, over the house of Israel, and his kingdom there will be no end. We find in this verse of scripture the prophecy being fulfilled in Isaiah 9 and 6, where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called a Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So what's so great about Jesus? He's a gift that keeps on giving. He's a gift that keeps on giving. He gives love And when you're tapped out and you think that he's tapped out of that, he gives you more. You unwrapped a gift. Have you ever had a gift that had a gift inside that gift? And you opened that gift and that gift had a gift inside of that gift. It's a gift that kept on giving. And that's what it is with Jesus Christ. When you accepted the Lord, what God did is he gave you his gift. But inside of his gift, there were many, 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 many more gifts. And all he wants you to do is to unwrap the gift inside of the gift. So when you unwrap the first gift, which is receiving him by faith. Mary, did you know Mary had to receive the Lord just like you did? When the angel came to Mary, Mary surrendered herself to the will of God. Mary surrendered herself to the salvation of God. Notice what she says, and I'm just going towards the end of my sermon. I want to respect your time. Mary surrendered to Jesus. Notice what it says in verse number 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." Notice the humility there in Mary. "The maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your what? Word." And then the angel departed. What was she saying? "Let it be to me." Yes, you said that I was going to give birth to the Savior. You said that I'm going to receive Jesus. You said that he's going to come and he's going to dwell and tabernacle in my womb. Yes, I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my heart. Matter of fact, I accept him in my womb. So Mary had to get saved just like the rest of us. I know there are some religions that would tell you that Mary is the one who appeases Jesus, and she's the one that you have to go to get to the Father, and you have to do so many of these penances and repent so many different times, and you would have to say so many Hail Marys and this's and thou's in order to get to God. Well, Jesus is the only way to God. Mary recognized that Jesus was her Savior too. As a matter of fact, notice what it says in verse number 46, as she was giving her magnifications of the Lord. In verse number 46 in that same chapter, it says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary was a sinner that needed to be saved. And she humbled and she surrendered to Jesus. Mary, what did Mary know? Mary knew Jesus as her Savior. And God will knock on the door of your heart until you receive him. And I close with this illustration. The world's largest magazine printing company, they had a machine that printed and sent out notices to people whose subscription expired. One day the machine broke and it accidentally sent out 9,734 notices to a rancher who lived in Colorado, stating his subscription to National Geographic had expired. The man drove to the post office with a letter in his hand that said, "I give up. Send me the magazine." "9,734 knocks at his door. 9,734 mailings to his door. I give up. Send me the magazine." That's what God does with us. 9,374 radio sermons. 734 Bible studies. 2,300 encounters with another Christian that you didn't want to talk to. Because why? He's pursuing you that you might surrender. And not only that, but he sometimes blesses you that you might surrender. Hail thou Mary, thou art highly favored. Thou art blessed among women. And what did Mary do? She surrendered. She surrendered to the blessing of to receive Jesus as Savior. What did Mary know? Mary knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. Mary knew the grace of God. And there are many, many other things that Mary knew, but those are just two for us to think about this Christmas. God bless you. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven,